Okay, once again, we want to look at the fourth commandment regarding a day, very special day, of course, day that the Lord blessed and sanctified. Last week we ended by coming to the New Testament regarding this day. In Mark chapter 2, Christ and the disciples had just walked through a cornfield and the Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself, is Lord also of the Sabbath. And I think that's one of the keys that we have to remember, is that Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, keep that in context of what the Sabbath day had come to mean. At that time, again, Jesus had rebuked the Pharisees many times concerning this day. But with that declaration, the Son of Man is also Lord, or the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He was reaffirming the true meaning of that day. Christ, with purpose and intent, healed various individuals throughout his earthly ministry on the Sabbath day. And every time he did, the Pharisees were there. And I believe there's no doubt about it. He healed on the Sabbath day with purpose and intent in order to engage the Pharisees with their traditions of this day. Remember, he healed the man with a demon in Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 4. Peter's mother-in-law was healed on the Sabbath day. The lame man of John chapter 5 was healed on the Sabbath day. And really, that lame man personifies what Jesus said in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Remember, when the Pharisees saw that man carrying his bed, they immediately told him that he had broken the laws of God. And the man's response, I'm paraphrasing, was, well, I just thought since the one who healed me told me to walk, I just walked. In other words, he was saying he's the Lord of the Sabbath day. How true. The man with the withered hand. And I believe, it doesn't tell us, but I think it's very probable. Remember, he was sitting in the synagogue and says the Pharisees were sitting by. And I believe that perhaps the Pharisees planted that man there with the withered hand just to see what Jesus would do. It does say that they were watching to see what Jesus would do. And Jesus, of course, healed the man with the withered hand. Again, the Pharisees went into attack mode. And again, Jesus responded. You think about the woman who was bowed together. Same thing. Healed on the Sabbath day. Man with the dropsy there in Luke chapter 14. Healed on the Sabbath day. The blind man of John chapter 9. 34 verses record this man's healing and the after effects of it, which all had to do with the Sabbath day. So Jesus healed on the Sabbath day with a very definite purpose, with an intent. And I believe he healed on the Sabbath day, again, to engage the Pharisees, but perhaps that wasn't the main reason, but also to teach us some things about the Sabbath day. But no doubt he healed on the Sabbath day for the purpose of rebuking the religious leaders of that time, because they were always there, always looking for something, always trying to find a way to entrap Jesus Christ. And of course, that's just plain evil. And those people still exist today. He also healed on the Sabbath for the purpose of unmasking the hypocrisy that the Jewish leaders had fallen into concerning the Sabbath. He also did so, and perhaps more this than anything else, to teach his people concerning the true meaning of the Sabbath day. If you think about Christ's healing miracles on the Sabbath, they really illustrate the true meaning of the Sabbath day. It was a day of healing. When Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he was saying this is a day of healing. That's what the Sabbath should still be, a day of healing. When he set people free from disease and demons, infirmities on the Sabbath day, he was saying this is a day of liberation. Again, the Sabbath day was made for man. It's a day of healing. It's a day of liberation. When Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, he was really creating people anew. And the Sabbath day is a day of new creation. So I believe Jesus teaches us some things, what the day should be. It should be a day of healing. It should be a day of liberation. You work in the week all week, and the Lord's day ought to be a day of liberation from that. And certainly it ought to be a day of new creation. So we come to the New Testament, and we all know that we observe Sunday has the New Testament Sabbath. There are a few Baptists, so-called, who refer to themselves now as Seventh-day Baptists. Of course, you have the Seventh-day Adventist, and that's their main doctrine, of course, is that Saturday is the Sabbath. And then you now have this group of Baptists, so-called again, Baptists, call themselves Seventh-day Baptists. But I believe that there is New Testament precedent that Sunday is the Lord's Day. It is the Sabbath. All the principles that were established in Old Testament Sabbath still apply. Again, we're not to work on the Lord's Day. But I believe there's a verse in the Old Testament that declares and links it to Christ that this day, Sunday, is a special day. Notice if we turn to Psalm 118, Psalm 118, verses 22 through verse 24. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This, what he just said in verse 22, that the head, this stone that's been rejected has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Next verse refers to a day that this happened. This is the day. Which is the day? Well, it would go back to this is the Lord's doing, which goes back to the headstone of, he has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Most of the time, in fact, I've never heard otherwise, when that verse is preached, it is declared, you should not complain, you should not murmur about a day, because this is the day the Lord hath made. And that's true. That application can be made for every day of the week. This is the day the Lord hath made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. So that the application is absolutely true. No one could argue with the application. However, when reading Scripture, that would be a very, though it's very true, and we're not criticizing the application at all, but that's a very shallow interpretation. Because if you just read verse 26 or verse 24, by itself, you see that's as far as it goes. The day the Lord has made, tomorrow, Tuesday, whatever. But when you read the context, he's referring to something very special. It's the day that the stone that was rejected became the head of the corner. That was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes, and this is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. So it's referring to the day. As you dig, it's referring to the day in which the stone that was rejected, which of course is Jesus Christ, which we'll see in a minute, it's referring to that day. And though we should rejoice and be glad in every day, this is a very special day. And the rejoicing ought to far exceed, the gladness ought to far exceed any other day. The stone which the builders refused became the head, is become the head of the corner. I believe that refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When did the stone become the head of the corner? It was the day that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Christ referred to this verse, Psalm 118. Notice in Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Verse Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." He's referring to the verses we just read. Now that follows the parable of the wicked husbandman. In verse 33 of Matthew 21, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out, or leased it out, to the husbandman and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent servants to the husbandman and that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. They did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, "He will miserably destroy wicked man and will let out his vineyard unto the husbandman, which shall render him the fruits in their season." Now, we can all see what Jesus is talking about. He's the son, and they refused him. They rejected the stone, and that's what Jesus refers to there in verse 42. "Did ye never read the Scriptures? The stone which was rejected," which in this case was the son in the parable, which has reference to Jesus Christ, "the son which was rejected, the same," that is, you haven't done away with him, "the same has become the head of the corner," that is, he's going to rise again. So Jesus made reference to this psalm. Peter made reference to it. Notice in Acts chapter 4, and Peter deliberately links it to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, Peter said, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel." Now he had just, the lame man had just been healed, and this is in that context, "that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead," crucifixion, resurrection, "even by him," that is, as crucified and risen one, "doth this man," the lame man, "stand before you whole." And then notice what he said. This, referring to the resurrected Christ, again, "go back, whom God raised from the dead. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner," at the resurrection. And then, of course, he goes into verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other." He also refers to it in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders," referring to the Jewish leaders, "disallowed," the same, that same rejected stone, Jesus Christ, "is made the head of the corner," referring to the resurrection. So what we read in Psalm 118, "the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner," finds its fulfillment in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we have again in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day, referring to the resurrection. This is the day the Lord hath made. This day when the stone became the head of the corner. This is the day the Lord hath made. It's a special day. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. So what day of the week did Christ become the head of the corner? Well, resurrection occurred on the first day of the week, which was Sunday. Old Testament spends all the time laying down the principles of a special day. Notice in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, Saturday, that seventh day that we read of all through the Old Testament, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that Sunday. And again, this is the first day of the week. Don't say, referring to tomorrow, next week. Tomorrow isn't next week. Tomorrow's this week. This is the first day of the week, Sunday. Toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulcher. Mark chapter 16, verse 2 and verse 9. Very early in the morning, remember, because it dawned toward the first day of the week. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week. Luke chapter 24. Again, this is the day in which the stone became the head of the corner. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20. Verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. So we are told in each gospel account, the Holy Spirit made sure that this was put in there by each gospel writer, that Jesus Christ arose on the first day of the week. Now there are Seventh-day Adventists, Seventh-day Baptists, others also, who will try to tell you that Christ did not rise on the first day, that Christ actually rose on the seventh day. Well, that's not what the Bible says. He rose on the first day. Now, there's no way that any logical person can twist that to mean that he rose on the seventh day. He rose on the first day. And we are specifically told that. This is the day. Again, we can apply it every day we get up. We can apply Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. That's a good attitude to have. But that's not as far as that scripture goes. I believe it has definite reference to the stone becoming the head of the corner, which is the resurrection. And this is the day the Lord hath made. We can get up tomorrow and we can say, this is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And that's how we ought to approach the day. But when we get up on Sunday morning, that verse ought to be in our head. This is the day the Lord hath made. I mean, it is a special day. Just as that seventh day was a special day in view of creation, this is a special day. It's not like any other day of the week. And anyone who tries to make it like any other day of the week, that is sin. That is a sin. To bring in all the other days of the week, bring in all that garbage into this day is polluting it. It is profaning it. It is what the Lord accused told Israel they were guilty of doing. So we'll continue next week. This is the day which the Lord hath made. And of course there is New Testament precedent all the way through that this was the day that the New Testament church observed. This was the day. So we ought to be thankful that there is a special day. The principles of that day, again, laid out all through the Old Testament. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you especially for this particular day that you've given us to come and to worship you. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you'd be glorified in everything we say, everything we do. We pray for the lost. Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts, that you'd open their hearts, that you'd impart spiritual life to their souls this day. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.